Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
If we walk in love, we fulfill all that God wants for us. If we don't know what to do in a situation, and there are a lot of complicated and tough situations that are out there, and when we don't know what to do and we let love be our guide, what does love tell me to do here? If I were going to love my children in this difficult situation, what does that tell me to do?
It's easy to love our brothers and sisters in Christ, so easy. Those who encourage us and love us back. But Jesus commands us to walk in love as a daily practice toward all those around us, including those who offend and persecute us. Sometimes those in our own homes can be the hardest to love. Loving others is only possible when we abide in the love of Christ. With 1 John 3, verses 10 through 24, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to be able to come together in this place, lifting up holy hands, not by things that we've done, but by the gift that you have given us, that your blood was shed, that our sins could be forgiven, and we could be right with you. And so we give our lives to you anew and afresh tonight. Use us, send us, strengthen us, empower us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can open up your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to be covering from verses 11 through the end of the chapter in our study today as John continues to talk to us about making sure that we are believing what is true and right and the dangers of being deceived. It is the purpose that the book of 1 John was written is so that we would not be deceived and we would understand what genuine Christianity is all about. With that said, your Bible's open to 1 John chapter 3. Let's pray, and we'll get into our study. Father, we want to thank you so much again for your word, which is rich, deep, powerful, and profound. It speaks to us. It challenges us. It works in our lives, and it will never return back void. It helps us to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. And our desire is not just to gather together to talk about godly things, but to gather together and know what your word says to us about how we are supposed to live. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Jesus said that many deceivers were going to go out into the world early there in Matthew 24. And then he said, "Take heed to yourselves that you are not deceived." You, Christian, have the responsibility of making sure that you are believing what is true, what is right, what is proper, the Word of God. I love in chapter 2 that John wrote, "You have no need for anyone to teach you. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have learned these things from the beginning and the Word of God that you can trust in, and that when something is taught that is wrong, when something is as heresy, that you can pretty much figure it out." I love that he says, trust yourself, but also remember that he spends a lot of time in this book talking about what real, genuine Christianity is. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if you are walking in darkness and you say that you're in the light, you are deceived and you are not walking in the light. If you say that you love him, but you don't want to keep his commandments, then you are not walking in the light. You are deceiving yourself. And remember, another point that he had made early on is that if you say you love God, but you hate the brethren, then you are deceiving yourself and you are not truly walking in the light. You can't love God and hate the brethren. If we love him, then we're really going to love the people that are around us. It doesn't mean that some of us don't have a history. It doesn't mean that some of you couldn't stand up and tell us nightmares of being in the church and what has happened to you while you were in the church. But the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. And Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you would love one another. And they, people who are in the world, will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have for one another." It is that genuine love that we get to know one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, really make those connections when people who don't know Christ come into this place. I don't know anything about doctrine, many of them. They're coming out of the world. They don't know what's genuine and what's not genuine. I have people that will come into the church and just because, you know, we're a little bit more casual than most churches, they come in and go, is this a cult? What is this? They just don't know. They wouldn't know mainstream Christianity if it bit them in the foot. And when they come in and they see genuine love between us, really loving each other, really walking in that love, forgiving one another, then they are drawn to Jesus Christ. And we want to make sure that we walk in that love. And he takes time now to develop that more in the section that we are in. I want to start with verse 10. This is where we ended last week. He says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. The word manifest means to be made known. In this, the children of God are made known and the children of the devil are made known. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he that does not love his brethren. And that's the transition. The first part of this chapter, he's talking about walking in righteousness. He's talking about practicing righteousness, not always being perfect, not always having righteousness, but it's that which you practice. You want to give God holiness. You want to give God righteousness. And for those who don't practice righteousness, they are not the children of God, but they are the children of the devil. And then finally, the second part, which he is now introducing, nor is he who does not love his brother. That is that you and I are to truly represent Christ in loving our neighbor. Jesus was asked at one point, who is our neighbor? And you remember he talked about the Good Samaritan. He talked about this man who was robbed on the road to Jericho. And several influential people walked by, a priest, a scribe, a lawyer, and they went across the other side of the road and they left that guy that had been robbed and stripped there by the side of the road, but a Samaritan. And you remember that the Samaritans were left behind when Israel was invaded by Assyria, and the Assyrians married some of the Jewish people and they were the Samaritans. And they were not really seen as being a part of Israel, so much so that they had even made their own temple to serve and worship God. And Jesus talked about the man who stopped, the Samaritan, and helped him, and that was really his neighbor. Our love is to be given not only to our brothers and sisters that are in Christ, but we are to walk in love towards those who know him and towards those who don't know him. Remember that a lawyer came to Jesus and said, "What is the greatest of the commandments?" Which would be something that a lawyer would be interested in, right? What's the greatest law that is out there? And Jesus said, "You tell me." And the lawyer said, "Well, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love your neighbor as yourself." He was quoting Deuteronomy for the first one and quoting Leviticus for the second one. The lawyer knew the law. And Jesus said, "You have said this rightly." And in all of these things is all the law and the prophet. That is, if we walk in love, we fulfill all that God wants for us. If we don't know what to do in a situation, and there are a lot of complicated and tough situations that are out there, and when we don't know what to do and we let love be our guide, what does love tell me to do here? If I were gonna love my children in this difficult situation, what does that tell me to do? If I'm gonna love this person that's treating me unfairly, what does love tell me to do? And we will represent Christ all of the time. I love that we don't have to know all of what the Bible says. We wanna learn it. We want to grow. We want to mature. I know you guys do because you're here on Wednesday night of all nights. You come to church to study the Bible on Wednesday nights. I know you guys want to know, but that you can say, you can walk in love. I have a saying that I've said for years. I've said, I would rather do the wrong thing with the motive of love than do the right thing with the wrong motive. And the reason is this. Because how far off course can I get if the motive is love? How far bad can I go? Love itself will keep me close, even if I am doing the wrong thing, if it's out of the motive of love. Because that helps to keep us on course, doing the things that God wants us to do. And so then he says in verse 11, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." In chapter 2, he said, "You have no need of anybody to teach you." Putting that in context, you don't have to have anybody teach you what the false teachings are, because you've heard them from the beginning, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. If you're a genuine Christian and you've been a genuine Christian for a while, when you hear an aberrant teaching, when you hear a wind of doctrine, a false teaching, something inside of you says, that's not right. There's just something wrong about that. And now he gets into the details of what you have heard from the beginning, and that is that we would love one another. It was a command given to us by Jesus. "A new commandment I give to you," he said to his disciples, "that you love one another." That's what God wants from us. It's what Jesus wants from us. And when it's hard, when there are struggles, when it's difficult to love someone and we love them, that is a gift that we are giving God. When it's easy to love someone, that's one thing. But when it becomes difficult to really love them, I want to, at this point, when we look here, you've heard this from the very beginning. I wanted to look, this is John. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Of course, this is the love chapter, right? I have taught this chapter maybe more than any other chapter in all of the Bible, because I've done hundreds of weddings. I was going to say thousands. I've done well over 1,000 weddings. I've done hundreds of weddings. And at every one of those weddings, I taught this passage. In fact, I could just give you the little spiel. It takes about 10 minutes going through here. But we start in verse 1. As Paul says, "Earnestly desire the best gifts, but I show you a better way." There was a desire that the Corinthians had to have the gifts of the Spirit operating. Even though they were carnal, they had been given the gifts. And Paul says, "I show you a more excellent way." We also know that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies, the Bible says. When we get certain knowledge, we can have a tendency to be prideful. And when we are teaching false doctrine, when we are teaching something that isn't true, we have a tendency to be arrogant about that, to have an arrogance with it, and to look down at people. When we walk in love, we lay down our lives for people. We sacrifice for people around us. We are tender. We are gentle in correcting those who are in opposition. There's a completely different feel when the genuine truth is being taught from when a lie is being taught. Listen to what Paul said in verse 1 of chapter 13. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels." That's pretty incredible, speaking with tongues of men and angels. "But have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal." When you're talking and the motive isn't love, it's like a bunch of noise. What does a clanging cymbal sound like? I tell you what, grandparents who are here, I'm a grandfather. Next birthday that comes around, give your grandkid a set of cymbals. How happy will your kids be with you if that's the case, right? If you can speak in the tongues of angels, imagine that. And all that meant, but you don't have love, you're just making noise. "And though I have the gift of prophecy," you can speak for God, "and understand all mysteries," you know whether or not Bigfoot is real, "and all knowledge," it's a different kind of mystery, right? "And all knowledge," you literally are a know-it-all, you have all knowledge. "And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." None of those things mean anything if you don't have love. "And though I bestow all of my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." No profit to self-sacrifice, no profit to giving everything away to the poor. It then says, "Love suffers long and is kind." Some of us suffer long and we're not very kind. Love suffers long. It's patient. It's kind. It does not envy. It doesn't parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. And here at the end of the text, it says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, and love never fails. What an incredible promise for us. Now, that is true about every relationship that is in here. If you guys will walk in love with each other, love will not fail. But it is also true in our relationships that we have with one another. As we are those who love those around us, love will not fail. So this is what we've heard from the beginning. It's nothing that was added. It was the very start of what Christ told us to do. It is the foundation of the new covenant that we've been given, that we would love one another. He then says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Now why, when he's talking about false doctrine and he's talking about love, does he bring up Cain and Abel? Of course, you remember that Cain and Abel brought two sacrifices. Cain brought a grain offering and it was rejected by God. Abel brought a lamb, an animal sacrifice, and it was accepted by God. Later on, when Cain was upset, God said to Cain, if you had not done right, wouldn't you be accepted? So it tells us there was something in Cain that was wrong. I want to remind you, and of course, this is the first murder, right? Cain killing his brother Abel. And I want to remind you that Cain wasn't an atheist. It says he was of the devil, but he wasn't an atheist. I believe that God had showed them how to give a sacrifice. There would be grain sacrifices later, so a grain sacrifice wasn't an abomination. But as they brought a sacrifice to God, Abel brings the sacrifice of a lamb and Cain brings something else. But the problem is that his heart isn't really right. The problem was worship the wrong way. And that's what John's talking about in the book of 1 John. He says, I'm writing these things to you that you would not be deceived. So he's talking about people that go out and bring you deception, bring you lies. And they do that and they are zealous, and oftentimes they will become murderers. I'm not saying that every person that has a false doctrine is going to become a murderer. I'm just saying a lot of people with a lot of religiosity have been murderers. There are those in church history that thought they were doing what God wanted them to do, and they murdered people because they were religious. And there are those in our day who murder people because they are religious. They are not serving God in the right way. They were not serving. When they went out and murdered in the name of Christ, they were not genuine Christians. They had not really given their lives to God. And any time that we serve and worship Him in a different way, we are not being led by the Spirit. We are not doing what God has called us to do. And it can become arrogant. It can become even murderous in our hearts. It doesn't mean everybody bringing a false doctrine is going to murder. But he shows us here that Cain bringing a different sacrifice, worshiping in his own way, not having things right, was the cause of the very first murder ever. He says in verse 13, do not marvel. We ought to marvel at that. He's talking about not being deceived, and he goes to the first murder. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. This is just a contrast. Cain isn't of the world. Cain is Abel's brother. He's saying, don't marvel that the world hates you. Jesus said, don't be surprised when the world hates you. They hated me first. The world doesn't like us. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brethren abides in death. This is one of the litmus tests for us as Christians, that we want to walk in love, that we want to love the brethren. We want to get to know them. We want to pour out our lives. We want to get to know them. That's what happens in us. When the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, everything becomes new. One of the things that becomes new is that there is a love for believers, for genuine Christians. He goes on to say here, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. That's the connection. Not that everybody who is bringing false doctrine is a murderer, but they end up hating their brethren. Why would you be hating your brethren? Because you're bringing them a lie. You aren't hanging on to the truth. You're bringing them something that is wrong. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Of course, Jesus said that if you are angry with your brethren, that you've murdered him in your hearts. In that section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Have you ever been reading through the New Testament and you think, I'm going to start in Matthew? You start reading it and you get to that part and you go, I don't know what that means. I don't know, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I'm not perfect like God is perfect. And then he goes on to talk about the law once he brings that. Well, we can't be perfect. All of us know that. None of us are. The only way that I can be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect is by the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for me and took away my sins so that I have achieved perfection by the work of God in my life. And so there are those who are walking around saying, I've never murdered anybody. I've never committed adultery. And so Jesus said, if you've lusted after a woman in your heart, then you've committed adultery with her. He didn't do that to lay heavy trips on people and to make them feel really bad. He did it to show that everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. He says, if you've been angry with your brother, you murdered them in your heart. We murder people on the streets of Tucson all the time when we're driving. I have something that I do when someone pulls out in front of me or someone does something stupid when I'm driving. I go like this. I don't call names. I don't shake my fist. I just go. If my wife's with me, I go. Look at this. That's what I do. If you are angry with your brethren, you've murdered him in your heart. I'm going down the road the other day. And I turn on my turn signal, I look, and there's a truck behind me. I turn on my turn signal, let him know I'm coming over. That was my mistake. I should have went over and then turned my turn signal on. I should have started over, then turned my turn signal on. So I turn it over, and he speeds up. And then he honks. Beep! And I'm like, I get look in the mirror, I give him a little wave, like, hey, it's okay. And he pulls up beside me and rolls down his window. So I roll down the window, and he calls me a name. And I'm like, it's okay, but it's all right. That's how I respond. It's okay, man. It's all good. I got kids in the car, and you tried to run me off the road. And I'm thinking, you know what happened there. I know what happened there. You know I wasn't trying to run you, but I didn't want to do that. He was murdering me in his heart. I got to admit, I was getting there back to him. He would have never known because I do this smiley thing. It's okay. No, it's all right. I'm just trying to diffuse it, right? It's all right, man. It's all right. Sorry. It's all right. My bad. But he was murdering me in his heart. And that's what Jesus was saying. Not to, again, make you feel bad or make you feel like I'm not keeping what God wants me to keep, but so that we all know that we are not righteous, that we are not perfect, and we need the Father in heaven to make us perfect in order to be whom God wants us to be.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and noon. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.